Happy birthday. We have an anniversary here.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I'm amazed every time this comes around. It's today, in fact. Hugh and Helen Bradley.
Amen.
And I had to come ask him to give 73 years.
Wow.
God bless you, Hugh, and
look at Lee when I say that. Wow.
Helen, too. Mike, it's good to have you here today as well. So, everyone, get over there and shake his hand. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They got married almost when I was born. Listen to that. And I'm an old man, so there you go. All right. We also want to remember the loss of Frances Vaughn, Helen's sister, and what a sweet lady she was.
Amen.
Remember her for sure.
Amen.
On April 7th, we're reaching out here a little bit, but Heaven's Bound will be here. This is a group from Kentucky bringing the morning worship service in song. We will not have Sunday school that morning. These are Susie's sister, is that right? And part of their family. So come and enjoy that. We're looking forward to it for sure. Also, want to mention Annie Armstrong Easter offering. There's envelopes out here in the foyer. Our goal this year is $450, and this goes strictly to the Annie Armstrong Commission. There's none of it kept here for missions. So if you can, please pick up an envelope, just drop it in the plate as it comes around. Are there any other announcements? A little louder. Choir practice at 4:45 for our cantata. We're looking forward to that.
Yes, amen.
And it's not too far off. I guess I might also want to remind us a little early, but in 3 weeks, or the second Sunday of the month, we'll have conference due for the second quarter, the first quarter. Also, when Heaven Bound is here for the singing service that morning, normally we do communion on that morning. We probably will not do communion, so we'll just wait until the following month. So, David Mitchell.
Thank you.
Oh. each and every one of you had a good week. It's getting more beautiful each time the day passes. We're getting into that spring. First day of spring came the other day. And I thank God for the wonderful blessing of seeing the sun and all the rain that we've had. But I thank God that we've been so tremendously blessed. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you, as we go through life today, that we look and realize that we are blessed so much by what the Lord did on the cross of Calvary. Easter's coming around closer. If you have an insert that is in your bulletin, if you pull it out, I've got scripture on there. Mostly the scripture that we'll have. It's lengthy, but we'll get right through it. Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 through 35. This is the last of this chapter of our that we're on, called Holiness, the Journey into Holiness, which deals with Matthew chapter 18, and it goes into all the way to Matthew chapter 23. Now, I'm actually doing real slow because I'm finally getting to the end of the 18th chapter, but you would turn with us in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, look with us on your insert, and then I'll have also up here as well, scripture. Mainly, that's the most that I do have up there, except for one slide that will have our outline on it. But I thank God, our journey into holiness, each and every one of us, if you notice, every day that we go on a journey of life. And I thank God there are steps and choices that we make that makes it either easier or it makes it harder sometimes. I thank God this past week was a difficult one because we've been witness to someone for some time. And they haven't got saved. And it really bothered me because they had a surgery recently. And so we were able to get up there yesterday and witness to them again. Amen. Of course, they didn't say nothing about getting saved, but they knew exactly what I meant. Amen. When I was sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And I told them, you know, there ain't nothing bothered me more to know that he went through such a serious open heart surgery. It's always a serious surgery. That he didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and that really bothered me. And I said, you know, I've been knowing you for a long time, and you know my heart, and you know what I mean. And so I want you to continue praying for this friend of mine, Mark Pratt. That's Carol's oldest boy. Well, is he the oldest or Mike's the oldest?
Mike's
the oldest. He's the second oldest. But he's never been saved. He never went to church. And so he is definitely a number one candidate that every one of us, the number one on our list is people that are lost that we pray for. And so today, as we preach about forgiving others, this is a subject that is so hard for many of us. I say, oh me. That's the thing that, you know, I get away with if I say that, because believe me, I have been exactly where you are about somebody that has done you wrong. Somebody that has mistreated you. Now, we may be talking about a family member. We may be talking about a total stranger or the neighbor across the street or somebody on the job. But it happens to all of us. And today, we want to speak about how that we have a guide for forgiveness that Jesus began to speak to us. Now, last week, we spoke about someone that actually we have a grievance against. Now, that's different. Today, this is something that deals with how that we're to forgive everyone no matter what across the board. And that is hard to do. But that's what the Bible challenges every one of us to be able to do. And so I thank God if you have your Bibles ready here, and we're going to get ready to stand up in just a minute. But make sure everything's working here real quick. But here, a journey into holiness that we're talking about today. And all through the book of Matthew, it talks about the kingdom. You know, and Matthew is the first of the four Gospels that mentions the name church. I said this a while back, that it talks about church twice. I thank God it mentions it by name in the book of Matthew, more so than it does anywhere else. Well, thank God this morning, if you're able, this morning as we talk about forgiveness this morning, the world, when they look at forgiveness, they don't know exactly what forgiveness looks like. As it's talking about in our scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. And let me get back over there too, Dad. Ain't nothing like the pages turning, boy. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Man, I love to hear that. Matthew chapter 11, this ain't our text, but I'm just going to read it anyway. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, and I have this highlighted in my Bible, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I thank God the world has no idea about anything about that at all. And it's sad because they don't know what forgiveness is. They've never met our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He went to Calvary to give every one of us by going to that cross. But I thank God, Christians, we know it from the heart. And I thank God, out of mercy, amen, action of release, redemption and restoration, that we're told about this. And so I thank God, here is an acronym for forgiveness that we put up there. Free the soul, open the heart, release the body, give the gift, invoke the grace, validate the good, and embrace the peace, amen. Now, I don't know if you heard people say these initials, TGIF, but they got it wrong, because I say, thank God I'm forgiven, amen. You say, thank God it's Friday, amen, a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you, thank God I'm forgiven this morning. Boy, thank God I'm forgiven. Man, I'll tell you, every time that I think about somebody does me something wrong and I can't forgive them, I think about how much wrong I've done the Lord and how wrong that I've been in this life that He forgave me on that cross. And every time I think about this, I don't have a problem forgiving somebody else for what they've done to me. Well, I want to tell you, that's the truth this morning. So if you're able to stand this morning, a couple of verses here, verses 21 down to 35. And that's mostly what I have on this, is these scriptures. If you're able to stand this morning for the honor and the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible tells us this. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times?" Let me stop again and remind you what I said last time. The reason he said that, because seven is the complete number and it completes. In other words, he's done everything he could. But the rabbis only believe that you forgive people three times. And after that, that's it. That's what the rabbis taught. But I thank God, Peter went even beyond that in this. And he said, seven? He said, it's complete after that. But you know what the Lord means when he's talking about forgiveness. Even if it's seven times seven or 490, it's unlimited. Let's continue. Here is his inquiry about forgiveness. Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Not 490, but unlimited. Unlimited, amen. I thank God. He goes on in verse 23. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, that being the type of God himself, which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon," that word reckon, he's given an account of that reckoning. "One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but for as much as he hath not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, I have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And let me stop for a minute and look this way. You know, there's some folks that they've been forgiven, and there's some folks that's just going through the motions. Now, later on, when you get through in this, you're going to realize that this guy here was just going through the motions. He didn't have the true forgiveness of heart that the Lord gives us when He saves us by His marvelous grace. But I wanted to point that out and pay attention to what's going to happen later on in this story, because this man didn't have the true heart of forgiveness that he should have. Let's continue on. Verse 27, he said, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosened him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant," listen here it is, "he went out and he found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And lastly, in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for the heart of compassion and mercy that you have given to each and every one of us. It is by your mercy, Father, that we're not consumed. And Father, we thank God that, Lord, that as we pray, you always say that we're to pray for those, our debtors. And Lord, that we're to, Lord, to be able to forgive. And so, Father, I pray to help us to have the heart to forgive those that come against us. Lord, forgiveness is a hard thing sometimes. And Lord, I pray this morning as we speak about this, and Lord, as we speak about our relationship with you and our unity of our fellow men and women each and every day, you set a high value in this area for all of us this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just touch us with your message this morning and give us the words that we need to say to your church. Lord, even though that we have our notes and things, Lord, I pray, Lord, nothing is above the Holy Spirit this morning, that, Lord, whatever you bring to our remembrance, Lord, we'll just overlook those notes, and, Lord, we'll say what comes to our heart through the Holy Spirit this morning and through your mighty Word of God, that, Lord, that you'll feed your sheep this morning and give them that they need to hear. And, Lord, particularly if there's someone here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, Lord, may we witness a miracle today. May we be a part of the angels getting ready to start the chorus line. And Lord, to be able to praise the name of Jesus, that one more has come into the family of God. And so we pray this morning, God, your will be done. And all that we say and do, we give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, I thank God this morning it's good to be in his house. As we look at the Word of God this morning and realize how truly blessed that we are to be here, each and every one of us, I thank God many of you have heard about the place of Alcatraz, and now it's a place where you can go and visit over in the San Francisco Bay Area. 1933 to 1963, it served as a fifth federal prison, amen. Basically, the history of this, it says that 26 prisoners tried to escape, but only three of them got out. That is, those three that got out, they never heard from them again. Of the shark-infested waters, the chilly waters that's there, the double walls, the locked doors, the machine guns, in the hands of the guards during that time and staff, guards that couldn't be bribed. It was known throughout the prison system as the Big House. Well, I want to tell you, the world's worst big house or prison is not Alcatraz, or even, as they call it, Devil's Island. The worst prison that has ever been created is our own bitter spirit. And there's a lot of people that are being held captive today because of the bitterness that is in their hearts today. You know, Mahatma Gandhi said this, and I quote him, he said, it's not for the weak, but it is the attribute of the strong today. That here, where we're going to get our strength and our resources to forgive, every bit of it comes from Calvary's cross, what the Lord did on that cross. And I thank God, many of us are not willing to forgive a lot of people, amen. Well, I thank God, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, I thank God, Jesus, he teaches the same principle today in this parable of the unmerited servant, amen. How much that we've been forgiven, amen. And how much we need to forgive others today. Or I tell you, this is a topic that definitely doesn't be preached enough in this world today. But I thank God We're to forgive as we've been forgiven, is what the Scripture is talking about today. And so I thank God as we look at this, it reminds me of a story I told before that I don't even have on here, but I remember that a man went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at him, he took some tests, and he says, "Man, don't look good. I don't believe you're going to make it." And he said, "Well, doctor," he said, "what is it that I've got?" He says, "You got rabies, and you're just not going to make it through it." And so he started getting the list, and he started writing down, and the doctor said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Are you writing your last will and testament?" And he said, "No, I'm writing a list of everybody that I'm going to bite." Amen. And so, you know, I thank God that's exactly how we are today about things. We hold on to grudges. We let them linger and let them go. Amen. But the Lord wants us to resolve these things. Amen. And so there's a lot of extremes that sometimes we do. You know, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to forgive you. Amen. I've heard that all my life. Amen. Since I was a little kid. I might forgive you, but I'm not going to forget about it. Amen. But the Lord wants you to put it in His hands. And today, we look at some guidelines that we have about being able to go forward. Four guidelines for forgiving others today that we have. One of the first ones is forget about keeping the count. You know, when I did this, I thought about that show, Counting Cars. there's a show about, these sport cars that this guy says keep the count on the cars, you know, and how many cars you got or whatever, the custom job. But here is about forget about keeping count of how many times somebody has offended you, because it tells us here in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 18, it says, listen, and I'll repeat again, it says, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus said to him, I say, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You know, I thank God as we look at that and realize that it's all about some people today, they try to figure out how many times that we're actually supposed to forgive somebody. Maybe there's a count there, but we can't keep count on it, is what the Lord is telling us, amen. And here he's referring to that, of the guidelines that we're not to keep up with. Boy, I don't know how many brother-in-laws or how many across of marriages or bosses or whatever that things have happened, amen. But, it's funny sometimes that it's hard sometimes when people hurt you to forgive them. But this is a spirit and practice of forgiveness is what Jesus is trying to tell Peter about, amen. And so I thank God to see what has happened. Peter asked about forgiving a brother, amen. And I thank God here we begin to realize what he's talking about, because, you know, the kingdom of heaven in its present form includes some people who are servants of God, but they are servants in profession only. And that's why I said earlier that listen to what I'm fixing to say, because this one that the king had compassion and mercy on, where he was going to sell his family, he was going to sell his kids and everything that he had and put him into slavery and bondage to pay the debt. But all of a sudden, he dropped to his knees and the king had compassion. And the king was a type of God. And I thank God because of that compassion and that mercy, amen. But yet, right after that, we see that it's not real. It's not genuine forgiveness of the heart. That what the Lord had done for us. Because, you know, there's something that he did in my life ever since 1972. And I was young then. You say, why 1972? Because that's the year I got saved, amen. September of 1972, I got saved. And man, that's when it began to change my life. You know, I thank God for that moment that changed me on the inside. And the inside, once it changed the outside. Boy, there's something about what God can do, the love that he gives us. And here Jesus is illustrating the spirit of forgiveness, because he says, Peter, I'm going to give you one of my parables. Here, listen to what I got to say. And he begins to talk about this king, and he's talking about his heavenly father. He's talking about his father that has always been there ever since the beginning of time. I thank God. He says, this is the story that a man came and he owed, oh my goodness, a amount that he couldn't pay. Believe it or not, he's talking about me this morning. I couldn't pay my debt if I ever wanted to. On my best day, I couldn't pay it. I don't care whatever good deeds that I ever do from here on out, I can never pay that debt back. But I'm going to tell you, it's all because of the mercy that our Heavenly Father had on us. that he gave us that mercy and that compassion. He says that he forgave us. And you know what? What's so good about that? Amen. Well, I thank God that Micah talks about it. Amen. Isaiah talks about it. He said, man, as far as the east is from the west, he said, your sins have been forgiven you. Amen. Well, I thank God. Don't ever believe that the lie that God withholds his forgiveness, because the devil will say, hey, you know what? You've done been forgiven 50 times. You know, the Lord ain't going to forgive you again for that. You know that every one of us has something that we struggle with. I don't care who you are sitting here this morning. There's a repeat that tries to come around every time. And you know what? You say, man, I've got this thing beat. Man, I tell you, this temptation, man, I got it beat this time. And all of a sudden, one more time, here it comes. And you go and you plead, Lord, forgive me again. You see, the Lord is that merciful. It's unlimited. 497 times 7, it don't matter. Because he knows what your struggle is that you're going through. But the devil will say, there's a number on this. You know, the Lord ain't going to forgive you of that no more. You done it too many times. You done said it too many times. But that's the kind of merciful Heavenly Father that we have today. I tell you, Jesus made it clear to Peter that we are to forgive others an unlimited number of times. God doesn't expect us to do more than he's willing to do himself. I'm going to tell you, we're to forgive others an unlimited number of times because he forgives us an unlimited number of times, amen. And so forget about keeping count, in other words. You need that forgiveness from God, amen. And so regardless of how many times that you've asked in the past for that forgiveness, amen, is forget about keeping the count, verses 21 and 22. Second one is cancel the debt for somebody. Cancel that debt, because from verses 23 all the way down to verse 27, here is that story that goes into that unmerciful servant. How that he's been forgiven, but yet he doesn't have the forgiveness to forgive someone that's only $100. Nothing new. Wages that they would have there during that time. You know, a lot of people get caught up in talking about all the money, the denarii, and all of the money value that's there. I don't want to focus on that part as much as I want you to realize that there's so many people that's out there today that need to have a merciful heart of forgiveness. And we need to learn to cancel the debt, no matter if it's a dollar or if it's $100,000. You say, man, that's a lot of money. It's just money. I'm going to tell you, every one of us, as we say it each and every day and go through life, sometimes when we forgive others, we have the power to cancel that debt. That's one thing that we can, to let them completely off the hook, amen. And we need to do that whenever we can. Maybe right now we're talking about your family member. Maybe we're talking about somebody that's at work that you need to cancel that debt. That somehow or another, this has been going on so long, amen. Jesus tells that parable of a man who owed a king a huge sum of money, amen. Millions of dollars, amen. And since he was not able to pay, the king ordered that everything that that man owned, including his wife, including his children, amen, everything, himself, be sold into slavery. But all of a sudden, he heard the compassion of that man. And he says, hey, I've canceled every bit of your debt. No more. But the man had a problem because there wasn't a genuine thing in his heart. There wasn't a genuine forgiveness that was there. He got forgave. And so, in turn, he was to go and to forgive another, but he didn't do that. And that's the moral of this entire story. I thank God that we look. That servant's master took pity on him in verse 27. And he canceled the debt and he let him go. Boy, I tell you, many of us have that same type of power to be able to do that, amen. But we don't. Again, I said earlier, Micah chapter 7, verse 19. That he hurls all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea, amen. Isaiah 44, verse 22. That I swept your offenses like a cloud. Your sins, like a morning mist. Man, all of a sudden they're gone. Boy, ain't it something when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days, and all of a sudden you're already there because you're a child of the King. But all of the other things that we could have done, maybe we waited way too long to forgive somebody that we should have already done. And all of a sudden, we have affected so many people because of it. Boy, this disrupts families across the board. It causes so much chaos because of these things that happen, amen. And I thank God every one of us, if we look and realize that there is God's Spirit. spirit of forgiveness, amen. Like a king that takes account of all of his servants, amen. Account of them to be able to love them, amen. To give them that they need. And so I thank God. God's works cannot, good works cannot repay our debt that we have today. Making sacrifice and giving offerings cannot pay our debt, amen. Only the Lord can pay that debt for everyone. In other words, when I forgive somebody, I'm not able to forgive your sins or your sins. I can only forgive the offense against me. I don't have that kind of power. God is the only one that has that kind of power, amen. But I thank God if we can introduce someone to the one that forgave us of our sins. If we can introduce somebody to Him, man, we've done something in this life. Well, I thank God. That, can you imagine little old Joseph? I can't help but go back in the Old Testament, how his brothers did him wrong. You know, he was the favorite. He had a coat of many colors. Said, let's kill him when we get a chance. Let's kill him. And they couldn't do that, but they threw him in a pit and they got him sold into slavery. All them years later, don't you know in the back of their minds that there's something that haunted them? Boy, I tell you, there's nothing like having that peace of mind, each and every one of us, as we go through with today. And so I hope and pray that we look and realize, moving right on along as well. Thirdly, keep them accountable. Because this is the problem that happens so many times today. You say, well, you know what? You cancel the debt. You know, you forget about keeping count, but you don't make them accountable for what it is that they've done. You know, how do you know that they're going to be there? You know, I say this a lot of times, that there's people, mostly men from other churches, that I have to hold accountable for some things because they don't go to their church. And I keep them accountable because they come to me. They didn't want to go to their pastor. I don't know why. But I keep some men accountable for some things because they ask me to. You know, there's a lot of things I'm with Brother Darrell, and I say, you know, there's some things I can't talk about to nobody because even though me and him, we talk about a lot of things, we're close. I'm committed that I can't ever say anything about these things, even though I know them, because that is between the Lord and them. That I've made that vow that I can't say and talk about these things, amen. Well, I tell you, sometimes there's things that you look in the newspaper, and man, they've got all of the juicy news about everybody out there today in the world that's out there today. It's sad that people, they have talk shows about things like that. But we have these guidelines, and I thank God we need to keep them accountable. And I thank God here the king forgave the servant of debt. And you know what? The servant did not do the same. We need to be able to be accountable for the forgiveness that he gave us, is what I'm trying to say. Man, that's what I said earlier when I started out. Whenever I think about trying to not forgive somebody else, I think about what the Lord has forgave me of. And knowing how he's held me accountable, because I thank God for that each and every day of our lives. And so we look at these verses that he's talking about, verses 28 all the way down to verse 34. And I don't have to read them again, but what's the lesson in all of this? It's all about accountability is what that is talking about. Listen, I'm going to read it anyway. He says in verse 28, but the same servant went out and he found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest me. Can you imagine? It doesn't get any better as it goes on. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know, I thank God he forgave him. He canceled the debt. And he also held him accountable, amen. And so I thank God, here the servant's spirit of unforgiveness is out there. The spirit of unforgiveness that's out there today that's horrible to see. And I tell you how often that we should forgive our brother. It's unlimited, however many times, amen. And so I thank God, whether it's money or whatever, you know, sometimes one of the things that really, really bothers me in this life is I see children mistreated. As I've heard on the news recently, oh my Lord, that almost brings me to do something that I should never try to do, and that is, I may be mean, to be mean, because you done something to that child. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be mean to you, because that is wrong in this world today. Boy, I tell you, that's a hard thing. That's a hard line right there, that somebody's done something to your kids, and then you try to forgive them. I'm going to tell you, as we look and realize that this man didn't have the forgiveness in his heart to pass this on to someone else, is sad, man. And so I thank God as we look and realize that there's some things that's going to be hard in this life to do in forgiving others. And in this area where we often drop the ball a lot of times is when someone comes to you asking forgiveness. And the best response says, well, you know, absolutely, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cancel your debt. But you know what? Make sure that it doesn't happen again. And sometimes we say, you know, I'm going to remind you every time you see you. No, no, no. You need to forgive them, and you need to let that go. I'm not asking an easy thing of nobody, but it's not me. It's the Lord that is asking this. This is what He would want us to do. That when we forgive others, even though we completely wipe out their debt, we need to help them establish that term of accountability in their life so that they'll be able to overcome their past and move on towards something. Maybe between you and them, there's some kind of a standard or something that you set up. Said, this year, I'm going to be making sure that you hold yourself accountable to this. And that's what I do a lot of times with men that have some problem that they're dealing with. That I always check, hey man, how's things going with you? Nobody else will know what we mean. But I'm holding them accountable to what they asked me to do. Amen. And I thank God that's what friends do to each other sometimes. Might be somebody that you know that they don't tell anybody anything that can hold that standard, amen. So I thank God every one of us, that's the same way that God treats us. He forgives us absolutely, completely, amen. And yet He has made us accountable to one another for our actions, amen. With forgiveness comes accountability. And I thank God when someone comes to you asking for forgiveness, give it to them this morning, church. Give them that opportunity to establish those terms of accountability, amen, so that their journey toward the holiness and steps can be complete. Lastly, and closing, I'm out of time. And that is, consider God's mercy in your life. Consider God's mercy in your life. Because I thank God, He's the one, because judgment is going to come your way if you don't. Because He says that His Lord was wroth, He delivered Him to the tormentors till He would pay all that was due unto Him. So likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, I tell you, every one of us, as we look at life today, God forgave me of all the things. He had mercy on me. And man, I'm going to tell you, I don't want nobody to know what I've done. You don't want nobody to know what you've done in your past, amen. You know what? It's complete, and it's been forgiven completely. And it's already a done thing. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, that's the thing that we've got to do with our lives each and every day. We've got to be able to have that mercy as well. Because God begins to take that forgiveness seriously. He expects every one of us to forgive others completely, because that is how He forgives us. As our eyes are closed this morning, as Sister Sheila makes her way over to the piano this morning, because God takes forgiveness so seriously that He was willing to send His own Son into the world to die on that cross for our sins. I'm going to tell you, He wanted to pay that debt for our sins. A debt that not one of us could never pay ourselves. It's not because we're worthy. It's because He was merciful this morning. He doesn't keep count on our offenses this morning. He cancels the debt completely, amen. He makes us accountable to one another so that we can become more holy and walk in the steps of holiness the way that we should, more like Him. Do you need to forgive somebody this morning? Right where you're sitting at. You don't have to tell anybody but the Lord right now this morning. But between you and Him, He knows already about this account. And He knows that you're being held captive when you need to be released. Right now, this morning, you need to do business with the Lord. Whatever forgiveness that needs to be forgiven this morning, where you are, the Lord already knows about it. Do you need to forgive somebody? Forgive them as God has forgiven you. Cancel that debt this morning. Help them establish those terms of accountability, amen. And most of all, never forget God's work of mercy that is in your life this morning. Because we must forgive continually, compassionately, and completely. Father, this morning, as we've shared your word with the church this morning, your body of Christ, Lord, I pray may this find a place for many of us. Lord, it's a difficult message because many of us have a hard time forgiving some people that have done us wrong, Father. Lord, we want vengeance. We want it back. We want to take that back. But Lord, this morning, with your help, may we learn how to walk in the steps of holiness this morning. To be more like you. To be complete. And Lord, to be accountable. To cancel that debt. All that we do and say, may we give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we stand at our feet this morning, look at page number 342 this morning. 342. As we open the doors of People's Valley Baptist Church by letter, by baptism, by statement of faith. You can come and join by three ways: by letter, in good standing with another church; by statement of faith, meaning that you've already been saved, baptized, but maybe they don't produce a letter. They don't have a letter, but you can come based on a statement of faith. Or you can come as a very first time you've never been baptized, as a candidate of baptism and joined by baptism. This morning, if you need to pray, this altar is open for you. You make way this morning as we sing.